Oh my goodness, this nigga's still talking.
Hey, wait. Let me pull you in a little bit closer. Make this more of a intimate conversation, you know. How are you doing, though? This is Just Talking Podcast by now. But I think you know that already. I've been searching for this chance to really show what's in my hands. Man, oh man. Missed an episode last week. I was tired, man. I had a long weekend last week. And, I was just not in the headspace. My room was dirty. I didn't wanna have to record. I had a senior design project presentation to do the next day, so I had to get ready for that too, you know? Did we show? Okay, yeah, no. I was starting to think about the senior design project presentation. I was like, did we do it all right? But, yeah, we did. Well, this is a random thing, but I guess since I'm kind of on this part right now, it was bookmarked, but this nigga King Wild, that's why I bookmarked it. This nigga said the big day really ruined this man's life for literally no benefit, and it's his wife saying after a period of separation, two of us have arrived at the decision to part ways. Blah blah blah. They're getting divorced basically, and they ask for privacy and respect. And then recently, I've seen this nigga Chance announced another mixtape. Now I'm not saying that his shit's gonna be fire. But I was just saying, I've been listening into some of his new feature tracks, some of the things he's been releasing. And so it's beginning to get better. I'm starting to like what I'm hearing. You know, I think it's a good thing. But, yeah, I think that's a thing. I don't even have much to say other than that. That's a thing. I'm going to lean into some things. This is going to be a slightly longer pod than the usual ones. I'm going to lean into a few stories. Just because, you know, we missed a day. So I missed a week. Day, week. Which one would it really be? Just an episode? Because if I'm being like more particular about the day and the week type shit, then I gotta say episode to be more specific, don't I? Then again, who really gives a fuck? Y'all niggas not here for the semantics. I don't even know why y'all here for anyways, but hey. God damn. But, yeah, I'm trying to see where I left off. Oh, I don't think I've covered. All right, so first we're not going to get into the rap beefs afterwards. Then we'll go end off with NBA playoff stuff. I feel like I'm so far behind just because I missed a week and then didn't get to talk about what I want to talk about in a reasonable effort. But that'll be brought up during the NBA playoff section. First thing I'm just going to say is, all right, now, imagine, you know, you get a life. I don't even know if I'm starting this off right, but fuck it, here we go. Like, get a life sentence, and you die, right? And then they bring you back to life. Like, and I don't know if there's, like, a thing there that you can be, like, a probability clause. Where you and the warden or some shit, you make your own signatures, whatever. And if you get like one life sentence, then you get to play the chance. It's like, all right, if I die, y'all can try to bring me back to life, but if y'all bring me back to life successfully, well, you know, I'm done. My life sentence is over. Now, I feel like if you have two life sentences, three life sentences, it should just keep on going on like that. Now, obviously, that might make some niggas like cook the books, you know? Overdoses might happen more frequently. Like, things that you can, like, reasonably, like, quote-unquote, come back to life out of. So, the reason I say this is because of some random story titled, and this is from India Times, but it was a story, like, this came out, like, on, like, more popular news joints in 2019. But prisoner who briefly died was brought back to life, argued that he's technically served his life sentence. In a bizarre incident in Iowa, United States, a prisoner tried to argue that he technically served his sentence after briefly dying and being brought back to life. In 1996, Benjamin Schruber was sentenced to life in prison after he clubbed a man to death with the handle of a pickaxe. Jesus Christ. I'm wondering, like, why, though? But hey, the gruesome murder was not only Schruber's doing alone, but also the victim's girlfriend's. Okay. So it was like a dual thing. Maybe they caught the nigga cheating. And that's why the guy who hit him and killed him was the guy he was cheating on him with. After the case was solved, Schruber was convicted of a first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. After years of serving his time behind bars in 2015, Schruber developed a severe complication with his kidney stones. While in his cell, the prisoner went to septic shock, lost consciousness, and afterwards was taken to the hospital for emergency treatment. While he was at the hospital, Schruber momentarily died under the doctor's care, but was brought back to life using a combination of efferine and adrenaline. After he was treated, Schruber was taken back to his cell. Schruber's attorney used this opportunity to claim in court that his momentary death in the hospital could be perceived as his completing his life sentence. They further claimed that since he had served his life sentence, his return to prison was illegal. Schruber claimed the revival was against his wishes. And that's, I didn't even know it was against his wishes, but obviously that's the case that you should make in this situation, you know. Because, like, if it wasn't against your wishes to be revived, then they can be like, oh, well, this is just him trying to get out of jail, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if you make it against your wishes, it does seem like it's kind of fucked to bring somebody back to life just for them to be in confinement. So it's an interesting case. Let's see. To support his case or his cause, Schruber said that his revival was carried out against his wishes. When the lower court found the argument unpersuasive and without merit, Schruber pushed the matter further. However, even the appeals court judges was not convinced by the argument. At the time, a 3-judge panel ruled, "We do not believe the legislature intended this provision, which defines the sentences for the most serious class of felonies under Iowa law and imposes its harshest penalty to set criminal defendants free whenever medical procedures during their incarceration lead to their resuscitation by medical professionals." The judges added, "Schruber is either still alive, in which case he must remain in prison, or he's actually dead, in which case this appeal is moot." To determine the legitimacy of this argument, according to CNN, the appeals court referred to Iowa state law, which states that anyone who is guilty of a Class A felony must spend the rest of their natural life in prison, regardless of how long that period of time ends up being or any events occurring before the defendant life's ends. Okay. Well, if you have a state law that basically says that, then yeah, it's wraps. Struber served his life sentence until he was 69, passed away last month of natural causes at Unity Point Medical Center at Fort Dodge. Yeah, no, I'm just like, what would I do in that situation? Like, well, if I have a life sentence, I guess there's not much I can do. But I feel like I would be one of those people who's like, look, if I die, let me die. Like, I might have to see if I can get that in the contract by the court. Like, if I die, let me die, nigga. I don't want to be alive in prison for the rest of my life. I don't think so. What type of prison would that even be? Why would I want to be there? But yeah, no, I just thought that was interesting. Moving beyond that one, my fault. I'd have gotten a call earlier, so made me have to pause some things that I was doing. So I'm just trying to make sure I got the catch up of where to catch up with the catch up. Okay, fuck it. Next thing talk about before we get into the rap beef part of it. Next thing is, I don't know if I assuming this is the one it started with. I don't know if this guy just did a whole bunch because it seems like he did a second one, and I just actually I think I might have seen it. But and I don't know if this is also stemming from the thing that was going on where people were saying you can put any gumball character into an anime, any anime into a gumball character, or any anime character into gumball, and they match perfectly. But basically, this guy puts the Foghorn Leghorn guy from Looney Tunes into Good Friend Nagatoro. And before I do that, let's play a Foghorn Leghorn video real quick. Let me do best moments rather. You know? You want to see the highlights. You want to see them at their best, not at their worst. Let me see, is it working? Don't think it's working. Unfortunate. Yeah, if I can't get the sound, then that's kind of raps, ain't it?
Anyone's head, boy. That's a head.
But
that's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep. I say you gotta keep on your toes.
But
toes, that is.
But
the fast ones get right by you. Keep your ears open.
But
yappity yappity yap. I can't get a word in edgeways.
What are you doing? I say, what are you doing with a pump? Pumping for oil? You're crazy, boy. There's no oil in this ground. Stand up, son. You're falling all over yourself.
Now who's?
That nigga's so crazy, bro. Man, hit him down. It's all like, stand up, son. You're falling all over yourself. Yeah, that's why I was like, this nigga was just jackass as a kid. I won't lie. It was just funny to watch. So somebody is just doing this, and it's like, boy, I said, boy, what's the sense of letting that woman run over there, push you in the river, and getting your shirt and britches wet? Boy, you gotta have some self-respect. Pick your head up, boy, and tell that Nagatoro that you ain't putting up with her preposterous behavior anymore, son. Boy, your shop is an old eraser and about as useful as one, too. That shit. That's what I'm saying. This nigga was saying the most disrespectful shit. That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You have to keep your ears open. Now look at me when I'm talking to you, boy. Senpai, I'm ignoring this. Your hallucination. You will go away if. Boy, I ain't no halluso. What's it? I'm here to help you out. Help you out. That's what it should be. Shout out. Boy, I said, your shop is a light bulb twice as bright. as sharp as a light bulb and twice as bright. Now let me go have a war with this Miss Nagatowo girl. I said, girl, that shit crazy. But that ended up stemming with somebody else saying, can we please make it a trend to have Foghorn Leghorn ramble to random anime characters, please? And then it became a trend. And niggas were going up, and this came out the same day as that other, like, shitty trend of where it was like, the two letters thing, look between these two letters. And it was, that one was only good for the, what's that one anime with girls that sing that's not Bolch of the Rock, that's a lot older, Light Rock Music Club, K-On. That was the only one that was good. The T, between the T and the O, and then it was Yui, because Y-U-I, type shit. That shit was fire. After that, it got real tired real quickly. That was the only shit popping up on the timeline. Then these niggas even started doing screenshots instead so other people could see it instead of doing the words. It was getting nasty. But let me see if I can find a good one. Oh, yeah. You call yourself a this is someone actually doing the voice.
And you ain't got an ounce of sea in
it. Yeah, nah. You call yourself a sailor. You ain't got a boat. I ain't even ever seen a rig, a jib, or weigh an anchor. Haul a four brace or something. Your half legs. Yeah, I can't even do that one. Oh, yeah, this is a Kingdom Hearts one. Boy, I say, boy, what I tell you, using that there power waking gonna have you flattened. Now, what good does that do? Boy, I say, this boy's more mixed up than a feather in a whirlwind. Boy, like taxes, she doesn't know when to stop. Nice manner, kid, just a little on the dumb side. And that's what I'm saying. That nigga's just a dick. Acting like he always mean well, and then he does that. Jeez, bro. And oh my gosh, I won't lie, the Elric brother ones were kind of the crazier ones. Boys, I say, boys, I ain't just go bring your mother back from the dead now, boys. I'm trying to commit the ultimate taboo, boys. I say, what can I offer for a human soul, boys? You're gonna lose your arm and your leg, boys. Now settle on down, boys. That one wasn't a good one either. This one, listen out here. This is Jin fighting his dad. This is Invincible. Boy, I say, boy, what are y'all doing? Y'all outlast every single person you love before y'all ever even grow your first white hair. It's just nonsense what you're doing. What will you say? What will you have in 1,000 and some change years when everyone is gone? Hey, this man got a last one. I'll still have you. Nice boy, hard in the right place, but he's got a lot. He's got to learn that he's not invincible. Oh, that's tough. That nigga did it. That was a good one. He's got to learn he's not invincible. Oh, and then the Vegeta one. Boy, I say, boy, what did I tell you? Do not let this cell reach its perfect form. Now look now, boy, covered in more dirt than a desert. Your bruises look got bruises. Boy, about as sharp as a bowling ball. Boy, just couldn't help himself. Now, boy, can't help a fly. Boy, I say, boy, what's all this now? Boy, I understand how much it hurts to lose someone who supported. Who is even this one? I actually can't even. Oh, this is Gurren Lagann. This is after Simon Kamina dies. Yeah. My fault. Spoiler alert. Yeah, spoiler alert. Oh, this is the one I like. Boy, I say, boy, your final flash ain't nothing more than a flash in a pan, boy. You missed it, flew right over me. You couldn't hit a broadside of a bar with a blast like that, boy. No wonder you're called a Saiyan. All talk, nothing else. Now pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy. That shit hard. Now, obviously, the original Crater ends up getting into it, and I'm just going to play this one where he does the Goku transforming.
I understand. Boy, I say, boy, I understand you've been enjoying this fight, but this ain't no game, boy. That no good fella Frieza just killed your best friend. Now it's time to quit playing around, I say playing around, and show that dirty villain what happens to folks who take life for granted.
That was a fire one.
Boy,
he did a few more, too.
Boy, I understand you've been enjoying...
Let me see if I can find them. But it's been a few days. All right, this one I didn't really know the anime. Oh yeah, this was the final flash what he did.
Boy, I say, boy, your final flash ain't nothing more than a flash in the pan, boy. You missed it, flew right over me. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with a blast like that, boy. No wonder you're called a Saiyan. All talk and nothing else. Now pay attention when I'm talking to you.
Then he was just annoying and disrespectful. That's all I remember him for, usually. He might have been probably one of the more inspirational niggas, low-key. But fuck it, that nigga was just annoyingly disrespectful all the time. But fuck it. I'm glad that shit was a trend. That shit was a nice trend. Nice trend. Alright. Let's finally get...
Sorry,
I don't know if y'all heard my Alexa having some trouble. There's that bass in that treble. Oof. Niggas like Lowe is already getting their son's playoff takes off. It's crazy. It's real crazy. But before that, let's listen to this Drake. This second Drake diss. And then we'll skip some of this Chris Brown stuff. We'll listen to this Taylor Made freestyle. And I feel like by now, most of you guys have really already heard it. I'm going to fast forward through the, what you call it part, the AI part. I'll still have it there. I'll just fast forward through it 1.5 times the speed. Because we don't have to re-listen to that. I really don't. I understand the point, and it's a chess move. You can see my eyes again. Making it, like, build up all this expected hype so it doesn't live up to its thing, and then Drake wins by half of that. The West Coast savior. Ain't great to your name and some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. Fuck this Canadian light-skinned dot. We need to know the baby West Coast victory, man. Call him a bitch for me. Talk about him like the young girls as a kid for me. Heard it on the button podcast. It's gotta be true. They talk about this Canadian light-skinned dot. We need to know the baby West Coast victory, man. Call him a bitch for me. Talk about him like the young girls as a kid for me. Heard it on the button podcast. It's gotta be true. They told me to spare. And the funniest part about that is the talk about him liking young girls. That's a gift for me. I get it. It's just such, and it was such a tired one. Like, everybody was making it, like, memes and jokes about it, saying that Kendrick don't even gotta say too much. You just gotta say that. And part of this is like him having his little 8 Mile thing where he's like, all right, if I talk about all the things that Kendrick can probably go at me for, it'll hurt less and he won't have anything to come up with. But at the same time, one of the reasons why 8 Mile worked is because he also exposed the other guy for living a fake life. So the things that he's talked about and he said and acted that he was about, he wasn't about. So it was just like, it was more that Eminem or B-Rabbit was out there, like, he was at least authentic while the other person was completely fake. Well, in this sense, I would argue it's the other way around. So Drake doing this, it seems like a good chess move, but it's like one of those joints where it's like, yeah, you put them in check, I guess, for now, but it's not like super hard to turn the tides on you, like some Drake fans may come across as it being. But yeah, Kendrick, we need ya. West Coast savior, engraving the name in some hip hop history. If you deal this with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. For this Canadian light skin dot, we need no debate of the West Coast victory. Man, call him a bitch for me. Talk about him liking young girls, that's a gift for me. It's gotta be true. They told me the spirit of Machiavelli is alive and it's in a nigga 5'5", so it's gotta be you. I would beef the whole fucking game. It was me and Snoop Dogg had my fucking shirt off in the House of Blues. And then he brings in Snoop a little bit with it. And, you know, 5'5", making fun of how tall Kendrick is. I don't know, man. And then... yeah, you know, I just... And then he does bring up the burning tattoos line, which was... Drake is using him to, like, devaluate Ken, like any of Kendrick Street, because it's like, all right, you're not Tupac Street, you're not Snoop Dogg Street. And it's like, and Drake can't say that because Drake has no claim, little to no claims to the street, and is almost like considered a vulture in some respects. So that's also like an interesting thing with the burning tattoos part, because he's like, that's jail talk. For thugs, you gotta be you. So, you know, saying he's not a thug. Gotta leave this motherfucker broken and bruised, saying that he gotta do something crazy. You asked for the smoke, now you seem too busy for the smoke. I won't lie, the people confused. Now you better give this shit another week and fall back so homegirl can run up her numbers. I would have refused. Fuck these industry relationships. She's not in your shoes. You're supposed to be the boogeyman. Go do what you do. Unless it's a moment that you could tell us that this not really you. In that case, there's nothing left to say. I'll just pass it to Snoop. And he does the same thing with Snoop AI.
Ellie is alive, and a nigga under 5'5", so it's gotta be you. I would beat the whole fucking game. It was me and Snoop Dogg, had my fucking shirt off in the House of Blues. Can't you gotta fuck this nigga, girl, he gotta get abused. All that shit about burning tattoos, he's not amused. That's jail talk for real thugs, you gotta be you. Gotta leave this motherfucker broken and bruised before we really lose. You asked for the smoke, now I seen you too busy for the smoke. I won't lie, the people confused. Now you about to get this shit another week and fall back to home, girl, who running numbers up. I would've refused. For these industry relationships, she not in your shoes. You supposed to be the boogeyman, go do what you do. Unless it's a moment that you tell us it's not really you.
That they're talking about is Taylor Swift, which is tailor-made freestyle, saying this nigga in his industry stuff. Mind you, he's also done a Taylor Swift feature. But while people say that, don't forget Drake has done an entire Taylor Swift commercial where this nigga was singing, dancing, and working out to Taylor Swift. A feature is not that bad, especially when you get a bag. Like, it's crazy. Drake fans will talk about, oh, yeah, he's keeping up with the charts. He's getting his bag. Isn't that what's important? And then now it's like, oh, yeah, you with the bag. You staying with the, doing what the industry do. I'm like, nigga, that's what you be saying. And in the same song, he says that. But he's saying, well, this guy is like the savior. That's what I'm saying with the hype up. He's like, wow, dude, you're supposed to be better than me. I'm like, this nigga's better than you. That's why you're trying to deflect like this. Because otherwise, you just let this nigga spit when he spits. But hey.
In that case, there's nothing left to say. I just pass it to Snoop.
That's you. What the fuck you really got to do? You passed you the toy jet in House of Blues, and now you got to do some dirty work. You know how to move, right? Right? I know you never been to jail or was jumpsuits and shower shoes. Never shot nobody, never stabbed nobody. Never did nothing violent to no one. It's the homies that empower you. But still, you gotta show this fucking eye of who's boss on the west. Now's the time to really make a power move. Cause right now it's looking like you writing out the game plan on how to lose. How to bark up the wrong tree and then.
And like basically, Snoop Dogg is saying that there's also, he uses Snoop Dogg to also devalue anything or any relation Kendrick has to that street thug life. Because again, Drake is technically not about that street thug life. So he has to downgrade Kendrick in order to make it seem like whatever Kendrick says is just crazy. Which is whatever.
Get your head popped in a crowded room. World is watching this.
And then obviously him sizing himself up because he also took some weeks to respond. But his is quote unquote more warranted or whatever.
Chess game, but are you out of moves? That you know the OG never fucking doubted you. But right now it seems like you posted up without a clue of what the fuck you about to do.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Alright. And now this is about to be Drake's part. And I thought I liked his part. Like as a rap, as a song even as a response, like a back-to-back-esque response type thing. But he just, with the AIs and everything, he just made it seem like he was too needy. Like, he could have just, like, done a response as of this, and it would have been whatever.
I'm put, like, a chorus on it.
But, like, this is going to sound a little bit jarring just because we're listening to it in such slower speed. I'm going to go back, actually, a little bit and put it in, like, 0.7 speed.
Yeah, that's the truth. I'm definitely about to come around the land gang and let my fucking bow moves. Shitting on you niggas, right? From a whole different altitude. High up in the sky like I'm Howard Hughes. The first one really only took me an hour or two. The next one is really about to bring out the coward in you.
All right. So yeah, that's the truth. Drake agreeing with Snoop, quote unquote. Definitely about to come around the Lane Gang and let my bowels move. And then he explains that in the next line, where shitting on you niggas from a whole different altitude, high up in the sky like I'm Howard Hughes. And you know, Howard Hughes, high up in the sky. There's a line with obvious play with aviation career and business magnate Howard Hughes. Now, going on from there, the first one only took me an hour or two. The next one is really about to bring out the coward in you. But yeah, the first one being that first diss, he's saying, oh yeah, it didn't take me that long, even though people might say it took this amount of time to come out, and then like when it first leaked at a shitty beat, and the second time it leaked, it actually went a lot better because the beat was actually good. But you know, just an hour or two. I'm just saying, man. Like, define hour or two, but. Now we're gonna.
But now we gotta wait a fucking week. Cause Taylor Swift is your new top. And if you about to drop, she gotta approve. This girl really about to make you act like you not in a feud. She tailor made your schedule with Ant. You out of the loop.
And this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. But now you gotta wait a fucking week because Taylor Swift is your new top. And if you about to drop, she got it approved. This girl really make you act like you not in a few. She tailor made your schedule with Ant. You out of the loop. And that's just fire. Because the idea, like, this is the thing. I don't know how connected, per se, PG Lang is from Top Dog Entertainment. If it's just a subsidiary, if Top Dog even still owns a considerable percentage, it could not even be the majority, but if it's still, or it could even be less than Kendrick Lamar, it could be even less than Baby Keem might own of it. But I'm saying considerable. Because I don't know what they determine to be considerable and where they might have to listen to a few things. Also don't know if people understand this, but especially back in the day, I guess the understanding is that because we have the technology to kind of put things out immediately, though arguably these were big musicians, so they could get themselves on any radio, especially since a lot of these people had like a lot of circles within that radio stuff. But like a lot of the older like beefs, it took a while like for somebody to drop a diss track back. So, it was never, like, immediate. It was never within, like, the first 2 weeks, even. I think Nas is, like, a few months. If not at least one. And look, I wasn't even the one that was, like, really harping on Drake responding first. I was just surprised J. Cole responded so quickly, and then took back the response after doing it. And that's why I was all like, Drake has to drop because of J. Cole. Honestly, to an extent, I would argue that J. Cole sped up how sped up this beef. If it wasn't for J. Cole, this beef could have still probably been avoided. Even with We Still Don't Trust You 2 coming out. At least the Kendrick and J. Cole, or Kendrick and Drake part of it. But now that like J. Cole fucked up and everything, like, Drake has, a real good chance to kind of just step onto the industry. Like, put his foot on the industry. And, like, really claim, unfortunately, for better or for worse, arguably for worse, that this era would be his in the big three. Where, instead of it being split and him just having the commercial success, you could argue he has the claim and allure of those even like within their industry, because they at that point they have to respect them. And to you can argue that there's already some of that within there, as you can like Lupe Fiasco and countless other people, Marco Ples, to like name another one. A lot of people have already said that Drake is arguably the better lyricist, and that to an extent you can say that Kendrick Lamar regrets doing this or starting this, and the argument could be like to what extent he regrets it. The fact that this man like did that to Tupac and whatever. Obviously, you'd regret playing, like, especially like depending on how like serious you take things, you like playing games with a clown will always like piss people off and be like, yeah, I regret even being a part of this in the first place. But that's besides the point. But yeah, depending on when this made it seem like it seemed more imminent, especially at when this joint first came out. Now, especially with the dislike for AI right now, like maybe if this is like another 10 years, another artist did this, it would probably go, it might go over better. And maybe if it wasn't Tupac. But yeah. But this is where I think that they're cooking. He's cooking a little bit. This is the second half, and I'm like, yo, if he only did like his verse, part of the outro, or if not all of the outro, and then like maybe add like a small like hook, bridge, chorus type thing, made like a short 1 minute 30 second type song, I think it would have been valid. But hey.
You act like you not in a feud. She tailor made your schedule with Ant. You out of the loop. Hate all you corporate industry puppets. I'm not in the mood. I love it when you niggas talk loose like I'm not in the room. Since like that, your tone changed a little. You not as enthused. How are you not in the booth? It feel like you kind of removed. You trying to let this shit die down. Nah. Not this time, nigga. You following through. I guess you need another week to figure out how to improve. What the fuck is taking so long? We waiting on you. The rest of y'all are definitely involved. Y'all getting it too. Soon as you get the courage to drop, I'm out on the loose.
Although, I was surprised he didn't respond back to Rick Ross at all.
Shout out to Taylor Swift.
But obviously, everybody else in Weekend, Rocky, some of the other people, Metro booming more of, besides what he said of, Metro, shut your whole ass up, make some drums. Which is a fire, like, outtake bar type shit. Like, those are those type of bars where I'm like, you're drawing the attention. You're doing the funny shit. Like, you're like, when the music stops, bro, you got to say something. You got to grab attention. And that was just like Metro getting the worst of it, I guess, on that end. As a side note, a Metro and J.I.D. album has still been confirmed. But that's just a side note. Maybe we talk about a different cast. Maybe we go, man, who knows? But a Metro JID collab might be crazy. Who knows? But yeah, I'm gonna let this outro play out through.
Yeah, shout out to Taylor Swift.
Drake
biggest gangster in the music game right now. You know, I moved my album when she dropped.
Out.
I said that already. You know, she about
to make the air. Millie Rock makes niggas think things.
She got the whole PG Lang on mute like that Beyonce challenge. Y'all boys quiet for the weekend. Like, I know you in that NY apartment. You struggling right now. I know it. In the notepad doing lyrical gymnastics, my boy. You better have a motherfucking quintuple entendre on that shit. Some shit I don't even understand. Like, shit better be crazy. We waiting.
Now there was a yay. Like that remix that I don't know how much like Metro and Kendrick and all them people had to do with it, but it was there. I've already been like, I don't know if I'm on record on podcast or whatever saying this, but I already said that Kanye, like as a rapper, like with his lyrics and everything, I'm kind of over. He's still a crazy producer. We're not going to listen to all of this, but we're going to listen to some of it. It's crazy how Ty Dolla $ign is just on all of
these. You know we had to get the hooligans up here. We're going to take this pussy nigga out. Yo, Dot, I got you.
This is crazy. Nigga, you apologized already, though. Hey, we here. He said, yo, Dot, I got you. Yo, Dot, I got you.
Can't stop, won't stop. I just fucked your bitch in a Sean John tank top. Treat a bad bitch like she average. I treat a bad bitch like a fat bitch. And they never let me get money again. On my cat wings when they get funny again. Yeah, you.
Alright, you know we had to get the hooligans up here. And the hooligans, our group, provided the backup vocals for two of the songs on the Vultures. That being Stars in Carnival and now doing the backup vocals on this with the whoa. oh, 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 type shit, you know. And then Can't Stop, Won't Stop, I Just Fuck Your Bitch in a Sean John tank top, because now this nigga's selling tank tops. So you treat a bad bitch like she average. I treat a bad bitch like a fat bitch, like a anything, like a, ugh, like a, just a bitch. I don't even know. God damn, nigga. Shoulda have let me get my money again. Because he reflects on his financial ups and downs after being dropped from his multi-billion dollar contracts with Adidas, Gap, and more for his controversial statements in late 2022. He was allegedly bankrupt for 2 months, but managed to sort everything out and get back on track. He said on the following Big Boy TV podcast in March, I was bankrupt for 2 months, like hundreds of millions of dollars. We were cleaning all them employees up, doing industry standards, industry rates, got my Shopify account right. I said, boom, we're going to do this, $20. Then we did the Super Bowl ad, and the fact that I was able to show factual 19.3 million in sales over 1 day, the next day, it's 15 million. The next day, it was 11 million. And in 1 day, in the same time, the music was coming out. It was just us and the people at the end of the day. God damn. You didn't make money, bro, off that shitty ad. Like, this is crazy. The resale might have been crazier. On my Cat Williams, when they get funny again. And Kanye mentions him because of his Hollywood exposing on Shannon Sharpe's podcast. Yeah, you see they try to count me out. I like that. We hit number one. We right back. 500 down on the bottom, 500 up at the top. Titanium girls caught that smile on the rocks. I done have everything you able to got. I invented drill to an angle line. It was chop. Hey, another one, volume one, yay. It's 2 and 3, yay. Vultures on repeat, yay. Stale, feel like Pablo drug dealer chick. Pablo, Pluto sent drones, woo. It hit like Metro Beats. It's rap for niggas. Where's Lucy in? Serve your master, nigga. Kai a little bad for your master. Didn't ya? Last time, Dale, I feel bad for you, niggas. Y'all so out of sight, out of mind. Can't even think of a Drake line. Play J. Cole, get the pussy dry. Fuck you, nigga. I remember this one tweet that I reacted to where it's all like, if you can't ever get no bitches if you play J. Cole in the car. And I was like, dang, I guess I'm going to be bitchless forever. And I didn't even think how valid it was. And then this nigga brought that meme back up. Fuck you, nigga. J. Cole got bitches that over there for sure. Play this shit back 130 times. Let me play.
See, they tried to count me out. I like that. We just hit a number one. We right back. 500 down on the bottom. 500 up at the top. Titanium grills. Caught that smile on the rocks. I done had everything that you able to got. I invented drill too. I ain't gonna lie. It was chopped. Hey, another one. Volume one. And it's two.
And he's saying he created the Weeknd genre, Travis Scott, Drake. And then he thinks he did the drill stuff he did the Future and Thug stuff because the Auto-Tune album kind of brought that out. And then in this line, Kanye backtracks and says he's the creator of drill music, so Chicago producer Young Chop, most famously known as being the producer of Chief Keef's biggest hits. The latter of which Kanye actually remixed on Good Music compilation album Cruel Summer under the title Don't Like. That's actually nasty.
Vultures on repeat. Still feel like Pablo, drug dealer sheep. Pluto sent the drones, a hit like Metro Beats. It's a rap for niggas. Where's Lucy in? Serve your master, nigga. You caught a little bag for your masters, didn't you? Lifetime deal, I feel bad for niggas. Bad for niggas. Y'all so out of sight, out of mind. I can't even think of a Drake line. Play J. Cole, get the pussy dry. Play this shit back 130 times.
Y'all dope, dealer selling dope, is you like that? Kicking those, kicking in those, is you like that? Young thug. Lows, is you like that? All 24, you on go, is you like that?
If I don't really like that. If you like that. Stepping in Berlin,
like I said, production and everything is still that level that it's like, obviously, you're going to have to keep coming back and listening to the comments for that.
No AP, she got pedic and Felice. Taken out to the moon, got Shanae Ning on my feet. Framed it out like a goon, and she got me playing for keeps. G6 and strong, we take through the week.
Yeah.
I can barely talk when I got me in my body. You don't have to say nothing, get money, you'll have it. Made it out the struggle, my hustle, I got it. Came out the mud, ain't no dirt on my product. Young, never selling, bitch, you like that.
Yeah.
Those kicking in, those, is you like that.
That's basically it. There's no need to really go more past that part of it. I guess the next one is the Chris Brown, the second diss, Weakest Link, which is crazy. Like, I listened to, like, because Quavo responded and his other Migo brethren came on it too. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. He's got a 2v1. Like, now, the only way I see Quavo winning in a fight is if they jump this nigga Chris Brown. Like, even in real life. Because, like, goddamn, man. It shit, that shit made it seem crazy. But let's listen to that one. Get into it.
Now, we can settle this like you got some class. So we can get into some gangster shit.
Hey, Chris. I don't want no issues, bro. I don't want no smoke. I don't want fights. I don't want to do nothing, bro. Please,
now the intro, I want to know where that's from. Alleged voice message to Chris sent by Quavo. And the first quote, now we can settle this like you got some class, we can get into some gangster shit, is from the 1973 movie The Mac. In a scene where a China doll, a prostitute, offers herself to a pimp named Goldie over her now previous pimp, Pretty Tony. This line is said by Pretty Tony, who's now angry at what happened, is ready to get her back.
Hey, man, there's China Dog.
Hey, baby.
Hey, how you do?
Remember me?
I'd have to lose all the brain cells in my head before I forget something as fine as you.
Does
Dang.
Everyone need an audition to get with you?
You got out there, it's probably hot as a firecracker right now.
That's crazy. Your bitch chose me is the name of the clip. Now Chris Brown says,
"Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with me?"
Interpolates the chorus from Nardo Wick's popular track, "Who Wants Smoke?"
Who wants smoke with me? Who
I need to tell y'all
okay,
that.
Let's get down to the facts, pussy, I'm dripping red. Don't let this R&B shit fool you niggas get ripped to shreds.
Then you the blood like will turn violent.
Can't wait to see the day that you back up all of that shit you said. What's all that ball shit you talking? You ain't no huncho, nigga. You the weakest link out of your click. Let's keep it a hundo, nigga.
100.
You fuck my ex-hoe, that's cool. I don't
think it was
no
out of Atlas.
Cause I fucked your ex when you was still with a bitch. I'm up, little nigga. If they say revenge is sweet. Now think about that shit. Don't let that line go over your head. I might just sing about that shit. I had a feeling about that dick. There's something sweet about that shit.
I think it made a crackhead. When you're he's known as a crackhead, bro. God.
I ain't playing chess with a checker player. I'm a ticking bomb on a detonator. Shit on niggas, I'm a defecator. I'm a nigga on a ventilator. Stop talking about beating girls. You was beating bitches on the elevator. We seen the taste, that's devastating. You doing bad. You a bitch and your music trash. Fashion week, they set me next to your lame ass. I was truly mad. All I kept thinking about was breaking your face, but I gave you a pass. You lucky I ain't wanna fuck the money up. Boy, I would've broke you in half. Quit trying to be tough, you ain't like that.
Like, and all these is simple. It's just, oh my gosh. Like, this nigga Chris Brown. God damn, bro. This nigga... You think it was just like, look, I'm gonna pour my heart out, tell you niggas exactly how I feel about this bitch. God damn, you can feel, you can feel the anger. Like, this is what I was talking about with J. Cole. We could feel that he wasn't even really about it, like 100% in it. He wasn't 10 toes down for that shit. But this nigga, you can tell the animosity is there. This is that real rap beef.
About drugs, you don't
although it's about bitches
on.
Again.
I just hit my plug, told him come back. I'ma need more.
That's how a lot of them.
Was a weed trade, just some bullshit that we roll up on. You know what's on, put you to bed. Night, that's Sudafed. Show me that I'm tender, bitch. Time to prove what you just said. R.I.P. take off, he the only real one that got true respect. Crazy how when he died, everybody really wished it was you instead. Oh shit. You tripping, Chris, don't say that. Don't lose your head. You done
God, like why?
This what happens when a fuck nigga push a real nigga out to the edge. This what happens when a dumb nigga get fame and it get to his head. You gon' kiss this ring, nigga. Big fuck you from my middle finger. I tattoo my trigger finger. Bring real beat to your dinner table. My mental state ain't never stable. I know this shit gon' sting, nigga. I ran your ass through the ringer, nigga. You just got bodied by a singer, nigga. Bitch.
Who wants smoke with me?
Who wants smoke with me?
Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke with C? Who wants smoke with me? Who wants smoke?
Just insane. That's all I can say. Now, I didn't even watch the whole Migos diss of Chris Brown. But and this nigga says over hoes and bitches. And I'm like, you're also kind of going back over hoes and bitches, but hey.
Shout about your bae.
Boy, you pussy.
Little bitch, come dance battle with my Drake. You been fucked your bag up when you punch Re in the face. Tell my fashion week, you sparing who come.
And yes, you can argue that, but this nigga's bag is like, since that, he's already recovered. He's already recovered a bag since that. And he, how much is Quavo worth? They're saying Chris Brown already over 100 mil. $28 million.
Punch me in my face. It ain't nothing but a fade. You know you Word. Lost to Frank. Niggas ran in your house, tied up your aunt cause you ain't pay. This bullet got your name. Don't ever bring up tape, pussy.
You know happy y'all niggas some hoes out here. I'm talking about like these nigga bleed want some money type shit. Bitch. I call your hoe for pussy. I hit your hoe for pussy. I did the paper, come in to save you, but you gon' owe me pussy. I'm on the edge, don't push me. Your bro with the feds, your pussy. Come here to come and did no time. Can't fake it, we know that you're pussy. Know it. Pussy, you. Pussy, you. Pussy, you. Pussy, nigga. Time after time, I pull up and wipe me a little baby nose. Pussy, nigga. Dropping the diamond pillow, talking to these bitches.
And then, you know, this is a take off chorus. That's fire, but I will say, if we rewind a little bit, you ain't nothing but a fade. You know you lost to Frank Ocean. So, an altercation occurred in 2013 between Chris Brown and Frank Ocean. And according to Ocean's statement, Drake attempted to shake Ocean's hand, but Ocean declined. And then Brown punched Ocean in the face, and two Brown and Entourage joined in, pushing Ocean to a corner, attempting to kick him. Brown threatened to shoot Ocean, saying, "We can bust on you, too." Additionally, Ocean, who had previously revealed his relationship with a man in an open letter the year before, mentioned that at some point during the 2 to 3 minute altercation, someone in Brown's group shouted slurs towards him. Ultimately, Ocean did not press charges. In this line, Quavo references a 2022 No Jumper interview with T-Real, a former confidant of Brown, where the singer told that Ocean held his own during the scuffle besides, despite being outnumbered. Okay. I was about to say, so it was like they jumped him. He's still up there for a minute.
You still fucked up by Karuchi.
And 2 weeks later, Ocean's Channel Orange won the Grammy Award over Brown's fortune.
You was the greatest, nigga, you fumble. Going out sad, I'm watching you crumble. Why they got Quavo out here going back and forth with a singer that turned to a junkie? Never got light, skin versus brown skin, nigga finna divide the country. Nigga, you ain't been in the trenches. We step in the yard, you know how that ended. Won't smoke with me? OHB mean fighting over hoes and bitches.
OHB.
Who gassed you up to put that out? Yeah, that was shitty, nigga. I can take a model bitch and make a sweetie, nigga.
Bitch.
Crackhead Michael Jackson, bitch, you better beat it, nigga. I'm still fucked up about takeoff. I want who did it, nigga. But that's
I'm not gonna get into that, but if you know the story and how that stuff happened over a dice game, and I think the argument is that their side actually picked up guns first.
To the industry, where your baby mama's at, no, they got plenty to.
Nigga, fuck that.
Pussy, every time you see me, keep that energy.
Keep that energy.
Can't believe I gotta beat you by some women beat.
I call your hoe for pussy. I hit your hoe for pussy. I did the favor, come in to save you, but you gon' owe me pussy. I'm on the edge, don't push me. Your bro with the feds, your pussy. Come in to come in and did no time, can't fake it, we know that you're pussy. Pussy, you, pussy, you.
And obviously, this is them talking about, or this is him talking about the Chris Brown confidant. The person who basically picked him up after he was down, after the whole Rihanna incident. Now, I think Chris Brown's one. I don't think Takeoff's was a bad response, but I just don't think it had the impact or the zazz that Brown's had. Now that we're done with that, let's get to the what is the playoffs theme song? I think they have one every year. It was the playoffs on ABC and ESPN. Full theme. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Are you ready? In the Eastern Conference, we have your first seed, the Boston Celtics, led by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and their new star, Porzingis. In the second seed, we have the gritty New York Knickerbockers. With Jalen Brunson and his cast and crew of OG and some other guys too. Will he get the Knicks up there? But that's not if the three seed has anything to say about it. Let me stop. But yeah, NBA playoff season. I'm just going a little bit quick and read off the brackets. I'm super late, but I'm going to read off how the brackets went. On each side, Celtics, Knicks, Bucks, Cavaliers on the 4th seed, Magic 5th seed, Pacers 6th seed, 7th seed, 76ers, 8th seed, Heat. And then for the failures in the play-in, Hawks 10th seed, Bulls 9th seed. On the Western Conference side, Thunder first seed, Nuggets second seed, both having the same record, but Thunder having the tiebreaker. Third seed, Timberwolves. Fourth seed, Clippers. Mavericks fifth seed. Sixth seed, Suns. Los Angeles Lakers your seventh seed. The eighth seed, Pelicans. And your losers in the play-in is the ninth seed, Kings, and the 10th seed, Warriors. Now, oh now. Let's start with the playoffs. I'm going to do it from the Western Conference side because they already have a playoff series that's done. And I'm going to go off and talk more about, well, okay. First, I'll say all the playoff matchups. So if we're all going on the West, the first playoff matchup is OKC versus the Pelicans. Currently, I want to say OKC is in a 3-0 winning. Because I don't think the Pelicans won Game 3, did they? Yep. And they're actually going to play tonight at 8:30. Just a bit after this podcast is over. So, Thunder already got them in a 3-0 deficit. In the 2, we have Nuggets versus Lakers, which is arguably probably the most challenging for a top seed in this matchup or in this playoffs. Like, that's the toughest matchup they have, even though they've beaten them a good amount of times. Right now it's 3-1. Lakers took game 4. Murray might be injured with a calf strain or injury, so we'll just have to see and power through. Next, you have in the 3, you have Timberwolves' son, with Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves closing out the Suns just last night in a 4-0 sweep. Kevin Durant had a pretty good series. I won't say great. I do think there was probably for sure a game that he underperformed and a game where he was only so-so. though I believe game one and game four is probably his better two, especially on the small amount of shots that he did take. Devin Booker dropped 40. Bradley Beal, he got damned. He said he wouldn't be damned. He said, I've never been swept before in my career. Mind you, he was in the Washington Wizards, so he wasn't in the playoffs all the time. And he said he's never going to be. And he said he'll be damned before he does that. Hey, at least he came to the podium. He said, I'll be damned. So, shout out to Bradley Beal. Ooh, when we get into some of those offseason talks about some of what these teams can do to restructure, Suns are going to be a tough one. You might just have to sign, looking through, you're going to probably have to just sign some big defensive, big bodies, and then like some playmaking type stuff off the bench. Like playmaking, probably only get like one, get one guard, get a playmaker, like a TJ McConnell-esque person, even if he might be like a little bit net for shooting. Hopefully, you'd probably want him to be a defender. Get him in there. Like an Eric Bledsoe type is another one. You can get him for cheap. Shoot, bro. I wasn't even for them trading for Beal, but hey, that's them. And then you have the, just skipping over that, getting to the next series, you have the Mavs versus Clippers, who are in 2-2 situation in one of the more interesting ways where both teams have won a road game, though the Clippers have only won without Kawhi. Obviously, it's because Kawhi isn't in the shape that he needs to be in. Obviously, most likely due to the leg injury and whatnot. So the shots that he's getting, even though it's not like he's being super terrible or super inefficient with it, it's just getting other people out the flow. And while I feel like in game three, he tried to like play within the flow, it just seems like it's better for everybody if that's not the case. Because if he can't ignite them, they would rather put in players that can still ignite them. Okay, so next is Thunder or yeah. We're going to the Eastern Conference this time. Celtics versus Heat is the first one, with Celtics having a 2-1 lead. The Heat actually did win a game on the Celtics' home court. It was an interesting game. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's hurt and hasn't played in this playoffs. But Tyler Hero had 14 assists. And just in totality, the Heat shot crazy well in the three-point range. Outshot the Celtics in both threes made, taken, and percentage. So, and that doesn't usually happen with Celtics being such a three-point shooting team themselves. Arguably to an extent where you could say it bites them in the butt. So, the arguable part is that the Heat played out of body. And as a Celtics fan, I don't believe that's happened again. We got the Celtics tonight at 7:30, and I believe they're going to have to win. So we're going to have to start putting our necks. We can't let this go 2-2. I don't know any news about Jimmy Butler. I haven't really looked into it. I haven't heard into it. Not going to think about it. The next thing we have is a 2-7 series with the Knicks and the 76ers, which the Knicks are leading 3-1. The 76ers had an impressive Game 3 victory with Embiid dropping 50 points, with the first two games being considerably close. But Jalen Brunson having struggled in those two. And in these past two, him really finding a stride with him dropping over 40 points in this game four. We are here to see whether or not Embiid can prevail. Obviously, with his injuries, we wouldn't really count on it, and we just have to go past it from there. But I do think getting a game, dropping 50, even if it was mostly on jump shots, which that makes it arguably even more impressive because the segment of his game was kind of taken away. Is impressive nonetheless, and I commend Embiid. I would argue that he just didn't play in this series. And honestly, I don't know if they have their pick for this draft. If they did, then I would have tanked. If they didn't, then I'm okay with them kind of doing this, but I don't know. I don't think he should play for Team USA, but that's none of my business personally, and I don't really. If he plays, I'm still going to watch highlights at least, so. I don't care. And the 3-6 matchup is Bucks Pacers. Pacers had the Bucks number all season, winning a majority of their games over them. Tyrese Haliburton now actually getting hurt, though, obviously made their standings fall profusely. However, with him and the newly acquired in a trade, Siakam, they should have enough to go against a Bucks team, especially one that is losing Giannis, unfortunately, due to his non-contact injury that seemed similar to the KD or reminiscent of the KD injury of much ago. So, right now we have that going on. The Bucks are down with the Pacers leading this series 3-1. The game that the Bucks did win was the Dame Lillard game, where Dame Lillard shot and made 30 points in the first half, silent that entire second half, and obviously that's what it came down to. They had an exciting game 3, I believe, where they went to overtime, and with Chris Middleton hitting one of the things that kind of kept them into it, where that's been about it. Damian Lillard actually did not play in game 4 at all. I don't know if this is more of a concession, but you see Middleton kind of rack up his points and minutes between game 3 and 4. So, if you're telling me that Middleton's going to start looking better next season, okay, if he can pick up some of the defensive intensity, then I can begin to see some of where this team can kind of come back on. But at this point, especially if Giannis is not coming back at any point in this series, if Giannis is not coming back next game, it's for sure Pacers game. If Giannis is coming back next game, there's a chance Pacers still win. Especially if Dame's not also there. But to that, next is the 4-5 Cavaliers and Magic, whose series has been interesting as well. Two great defensive teams playing, kind of like fighting each other out. Right now, their series is tied 2-2 with their game tomorrow at 8 p.m. I'm impressed with the level of shot making that the Magic have pulled off in order to tie this series back. I had the Cavs winning, and I'm kind of impressed that the Magic has been able to kind of pull through. The first one being the shot making made, or the shot making done by Pablo Banchero and the Jalen Suggs. However, I was not sure or even confident that I would keep up. However, it seems like it did in the game 2, which seemed like he yielded out similar results, except it was Franz Wagner who went out and really showed him stuff, while Paolo Banchero kind of struggled. However, it seems like they're really able to like segment through their guys and kind of like play through the people who are really on fire for each game. But I guess a series never really starts until a road team gets a victory, so we're going to have to see tomorrow 8 p.m. against the Cavs at the Cavs home. But I guess a quick knockoff, obviously, I have the going east to west since I'm already on the east. I have the Celtics winning their – I had the Celtics winning their matchup. I had the Knicks – I had the Celtics winning in 4. That's not going to happen. Still in 5. I have the Knicks winning their matchup at Celtics in 4 because Jimmy Butler was going to play anyways. But Knicks winning their matchup against the 76ers, which I had the Knicks, I'm pretty sure, in 5. It does seem like it may go that way, but we'll have to see if the 76ers can go and steal one at the Knicks' home. I had the Pacers beating the Bucks because Giannis is out. Though I did have some qualms about how good Tyrese Haliburton would look or start to look in this past game. It's kind of been kind of obvious nonetheless, but hey. Next, I had the Cavaliers beating the Magic, as I said earlier. After that, the next matchup I would have would be the Cavs versus the Celtics. I have Celtics in six. I think the Cavs can put up a good fight, especially with their defense. And with the Celtics' tendency to go into ISO dribble guard modes and not being able to really convert those, especially in the clutch situations sometimes, I feel as though that could be an issue. However, I would still vote on the Celtics still being able to outshoot the Cavs on most of those nights. So Celtics in six. After that, it would be the Knicks versus the Pacers. I feel like the Knicks had the defensive pieces. We'll see with Mitchell Robinson and some of the other people who've gotten injured. Bogdan can come back and whatnot. DiVincenzo can find his groove. Jalen Brunson can continue on this streak where he's able to at least get them like 26. But I would have them over the Pacers because Pacers don't have that much defensively. And I think the Knicks can find enough offensively. I saw them this past game against the 76ers really getting into the paint, trying to really attack. And I feel as though they should be able to do that pretty similarly against the Pacers, while the Pacers are going to really try and fight on that transition. And I don't know how that's going to work. Half court-wise, I feel like the Knicks should have them. But after that, I have the Celtics being the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I have that being a 6 or 7 game series just because it depends on how healthy the Knicks are, how healthy the Celtics are. I think the Celtics have more pieces overall, but I think the Knicks can really play them hard, get them into some of those ISO situations that I mentioned earlier, and it'll just be a hard fight, but Celtics should be able to win with their offensive firepower and the fact that there are no slouches on the defensive end either. I do hope that they can get into some more ran sets for that so their half-court offense does not look so egregious at certain moments. But, all right, going into the West, Thunder-Pelicans, I had the Thunder in 5. Looks like it might even be Thunder in 4, but I think the Pelicans will squeeze one out. I was kind of like iffy about how this would go, but Zion Williamson wasn't going to play after that play-in game issue when he was going against the Kings, so it just became a foregone conclusion. Although I will say the Pelicans have seemingly fought them pretty close in some respect. Next would be the Nuggets-Lakers. I had the Lakers, or the Nuggets in 6, my fault. I thought the Lakers would be able to fight on. I was assuming that there would be no major issues to Jamal, but I did think he would be impaired, which to an extent he does look like he's been a lot more slower, though he's being able to hit certain shots. He hasn't been able to replicate the actual point spread. And arguably the Nuggets cast have been showing out enough to where it hasn't been too much an issue, especially when they get into those clutch situations where they have to go into that 2-3-man game with Jokic, Murray, and then that 3-man when you add Aaron Gordon sneaking up behind the baseline. But I thought the Lakers would play them tough. Lakers kind of let go for some of those games. But now with Jamal Murray being injured, the Lakers have a significant chance. So we're just going to see how that works. In the next one, we have Timberwolves, Suns. I had the Timberwolves because of the defense. Although the Suns had their number. I didn't have the Timberwolves in this, so I had the Timberwolves in 6. Although the Suns had their number in the season, I did have belief that because Karl Anthony Towns did come back looking pretty good off of that injury he had. Anthony Edwards seemed like he'd be able to play them well. And I have never been as low on the Gobert train as other people, and I've been pretty high on the Timberwolves ever, especially since that Gobert trade. I've liked Anthony Edwards, and he showed out and like he put the stompers on to make sure he swept them. Like it looked like there was gonna be a little bit hard to get out. And nigga went there and he's like, yeah, put some elbow grease, put the scrubbers on, 9 points in the half in the first half, and then he ended the game with 40. Over 40. Insane shot making. Insane competitive nature. It was just insane all the way through. Bradley Beal had a stinker, unfortunately. He was in foul trouble through the entire game. couldn't really provide as much as he wanted. And then in the 4-5 matchup, I had the Mavs over the Clippers. Part of it is fan love. Part of it was the Clippers having a nasty stretch going down. And then the last part was Kawhi being injured. I felt it was just a breakout time for Mavs. They had some of the pieces. I had the Mavs in 6, though, with some trepidation, just because I am one to believe that I don't think that the people that the Mavs got, like the Mavs got and made some, like, some great things out of nothing. But not that they don't have the continuity, but, like, I don't think the bigs that they got are naturally skilled. I think that they're, like, they can go and get something and make it happen sometimes. But, or not even, like, make it happen, but they can finish sometimes. But they're, that level of inconsistency, when that happens, and when Luka isn't naturally completely on, as he hasn't really been in this playoffs, he's been on and off, it can provide some issues. Kyrie battling hard, though. That's my GOAT for real. I've always told you about him. It's never been his fault. He's just been in situations that just haven't, man. All right. Shout out Antakai's. Got me a pair. I'm here. But Mavericks in 6 seems interesting. 2-2 series. We just have to let it go. After that, it would be Mavericks versus Thunder. I have the Thunder in 7. I do believe the Thunder could actually finish this in 5, depending on which interior defense and offensive consistency the Mavericks want to be on in those games. But I do think ultimately the Thunder should be able to win this series. They have arguably the better pieces top down. Chet has really been showing that he can't easily get pushed around. And like I said, I don't know how naturally skilled some of those bigs are to be able to keep up with him on the perimeter as well, and be able to do some of those things. So it's just wraps for that. Nuggets, Timberwolves. I feel like this can be very interesting. Initially, I had the Nuggets in 6, and I'm going to keep that. However, the Timberwolves can easily push this to 7 or just upright win this series. Questions on Jamal Murray's health and the Timberwolves being just insane shot makers. You do have to question how consistent Nuggets defense will be able to go, as well as their offense, particularly the bench's productions, as you've seen them struggle. But ultimately, assuming both teams fairly healthy, I would just choose the Nuggets in 6, and I did. So Nuggets in 6 in that assumption. And then I would have the Thunder and Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, with the Nuggets squeaking by in a 6-7 game series, most likely 7. Thunder have had their number as they won. I feel like the Thunder's strategy of getting into the paint, pass and kick out, along with having great 3-point shooters, great people who can drive off the catch, are going to be a trouble for the Nuggets team, as they're not the best scramblers. Like, they can scramble and kind of get there, but as you saw how the Timberwolves did it, the Timberwolves can actually stagger you if you do that, especially if you don't make that drive and cut at the right times. However, I have more confidence that OKC will be driving a lot more rather than being the stagnant offense that the Suns were. As I believe the one that Jaden McDaniels stole from the corner that was going to KD after, I believe, Booker went and drove and passed it down there off the baseline. If KD drove in and was getting ready for a dunk a la Aaron Gordon type thing, that would have been different. I have the Nuggets winning this just off of more experience and bigger bodies. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if they're going to be able to continue to play as fast as they did in the regular season, the Thunder. So I had the Nuggets winning, but the Thunder have a great chance because they're playing in a field where the Nuggets are arguably bad at or bad in. Then I would have the Nuggets and Celtics. Now, obviously, my mind is telling me Nuggets in 6 or 7, but I'm choosing Celtics in 7. Why? Because it's Jaylen Brown. Because it's Jason Tatum. Because it's Derek White. Because it's Drew Holiday. Because it's Porzingis. Tingus Pingus. Porzingis, my guy. And we bleed green every day. We bleed green. think it's May, bro. I don't know, man. We here. Clover Gang. Clover Gang. All right. And although Celtic fans on the internet are kind of nasty, a lot of them, I fuck with B-Souls, obviously. I've talked about him, like his content, like his work. Although a lot of the Celtics accounts and fans I've seen on the internet are kind of, I still fuck with this shit, and I'm still going to go for this shit. I'm saying Celtics in seven, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Nuggets beat us both times this season and beat us once last year. We had the split on them with Jaylen Brown having some choice words. Last year, this is a matchup that I had actually really wanted for the playoffs just because of those choice words. And Jaylen Brown played really good in that game that was at their home. We're going to have to see how things kind of go. While they have a better defensive matchup for Tatum, I would still argue that with some games in hand, Tatum can have some of those jump shots, some of those spots back, and he can start to feel better about them. I already kind of a little bit more relegated to Tatum being more of a jump shooter in a sense, even though he has the rim running capabilities. But hey, we're here for it, and I'm here to support the Green no matter how they want to make it tough for me in my heart. But we're here. That's a quick playoff run through for me. Just a little bit of convo before the end of this podcast. Now, I did have some like things a little bit planned, but things kind of got off for all of us. There's like an actual like podcast already done for the most part, edited and whatnot, where it's just like playoff stuff. And it was me, my guys. The timing that we did it in, it was like before the play-in tournament even started. There was like a few games still left, like 3-4 games still left in the season. So it was like stuff was still changing, especially in the West. But shoot, the Magic dropped all the way from, I think they were 4th seed with a potential 3 seed. They dropped all the way down to the 5 seed. So it was just like a nuts type of thing. Where it's like, all right, we kind of just have to scrap it. There's certain parts we might be able to use, certain parts we won't be able to use. Ultimately, we still had like similar picks and everything. Just like different people in the first round for the most part. I feel like within the second round, kind of had everybody. But ultimately, I think it was like good podcast. Maybe we'll leak some clips throughout the playoffs, you know. Let some of their like picks still go in, some of their beliefs still be known to the public. I enjoyed making it though, and it's unfortunate that you guys won't be able to hear it in its purest form. But hey, that's just how it is sometimes. I'm not thankful for the events that I've been a part of these past few weekends. Nice. Those who know. Congratulations to those of those and the ones of ones and the twos of twos. Because you know you got paired up. All right, man. This is Just Talking Podcast. I'm sorry if this seemed a little bit rushed. I didn't mean it to be. I felt like I just was on a roll with the NBA like conversation. Like I could just get my takes out really quickly without like having that many issues. But thank you for listening. This is me catching you on the flip side. Bye. That was the Just Talking Podcast.